You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. I thank you for joining us here today. I'm your host for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor here of Island Community Church. And this radio program, WGOD, is brought to you by the good people of Island Community Church. We invite you to attend one of our services. This Sunday morning is our next service, and it'll be at 10:30. I am in Romans chapter 8. We have some baptisms, which will be kicking off the service this Sunday morning. And then Romans chapter 8, perhaps the most famous text in all the Bible, starting with the great promise, all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. That's where we're going to look at here. That's where we're going to start. Actually, we're going to start, as the Apostle Paul shows us, that we are sons. We're adopted sons and daughters of God. And he said, and we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ if we suffer with him. So that's where we're going to be here this Sunday morning. You are invited, if you're new to the area or if you are looking for a new church home, I invite you to attend our service this week or any upcoming Sunday morning at 10:30, Wednesdays for a more of an informal midweek Bible study, 6 o'clock Wednesday nights. We would love to see you. We are at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. It's Island Community Church. Now, here on the radio, you're hearing a couple different things. You're hearing the Sunday sermons, which you just heard Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Also, I've been going through the book of Revelation verse by verse. We're up to chapter 16. Let's look at this entire chapter here this morning on this Thursday. And this is where we left off. Let's pick it up from the top. Now, we've come to the last seven judgments known as the bowl judgments. There's 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. There's seven seals. The seventh seal ushers in the seven trumpets, and then the seventh trumpet ushers in the seven bowl judgments. And here is a list of where these bowls are poured out. The first one, as we're going to see, the first one's poured out on the earth. The second bowl is poured out on the sea. The third is poured out on the fresh waters. The fourth, we're going to see, is poured out on the sun. The fifth bowl is poured out on the throne of the Antichrist. The sixth is poured out on the Euphrates River. That's where we're going to focus most of this. That's where we left off here. And the last, the seventh bowl, is poured out into the air. So that's what we're going to look at here. These are the last judgments. Praise God, finally. This is the last of the bowl judgments. Jesus is coming back soon, according to the book of Revelation. Now let's pick it up here from the top. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. So the first went out and poured out his bowl upon the earth. And a bad and malignant ulcer came upon men having the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. So, number one of seven. If you guys are able to write, if you want this handout, I've got it here. I'd be glad to send it to you. The seven bowl judgments. The first is loathsome sore. So, I just showed you a minute ago where the bowls are poured out. Now let's look at what happens as a result. The first one is loathsome sore. My translation, I've called that malignant. And how apropos that the word malignant is the Greek word parneros, which is, first of all, it's a proper name for Satan, and it's that dreaded word for cancer that we hear, malignant. The Greek word parneros. Again, it's a proper name for Satan. When Jesus said, deliver us from, now some translations say deliver us from evil, but it's deliver us from hoparneros, which is the evil, meaning the evil one. It's a proper name for Satan. This word malignant is the Greek word for evil. So it's malignant. I've translated this in my Bible translation, malignant ulcers came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshiped this Frankenstein monster here, those who worshiped the Terminator. If you guys remember our studies through this, the image of the beast is this modern-day Terminator that's going to force people to worship itself. It's going to be the one issuing the mark of the beast. I encourage you, find and listen to that program I recorded on the false prophet, Revelation 13, 13 through 18. I called it the super duper. You can find it available here on demand. So that's number one, loathsome sore, malignant ulcer. Came upon everyone who had the mark of the beast and on everyone who worships the image. Remember, that's what they're going to do. This is the last one world government. The last government. The last one world government is going to force people, this image, whatever this thing is, that this false prophet's going to have the power to give life to. Revelation 13, 14, he was given the power to give life to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image to be killed. Now, this thing, representing, working for the Antichrist, the last government that'll be in place before Jesus returns, read Daniel chapter 2 as well, is going to issue this mark, this economic mark, in order for you to do business out here in the world today. Now, this malignant ulcer is going to come upon everyone who has this mark. And on everyone who worships the image of the beast. I've said it 100 times. Let's make this 101. There is no repentance for doing this and taking the mark and worshiping the icon. As we're about to see here, and as we read in chapter 14, there's no repentance from this. Verse 3, then a second angel poured out his bowl into the sea. And it became like the blood of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. So the second bowl is poured out on the sea. End result, the sea turns to blood. Sorry for all you environmentalists out there, but this is the end. This is the end of all sea creatures. This is the end of life here is coming up. Not just for the sea creatures, but for everything. Verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and into the springs of water, and it became blood. Just like Moses. Moses did the same thing when we read back in Exodus. So bowl number three, poured out on the fresh waters. End result of bowl number three, waters turned to blood. Now, as a result of this, we hear these comments being made here for all those who might question what they see, or perhaps for all those that think that this might not be fair, that this is happening to sea creatures. Look at what we read next, Revelation 16, 5. I heard the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous, he who is and who was, holy, because you have judged these things. For they shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you gave them blood to drink, for they are worthy. So these people here left on the earth, see, I don't believe you're here on the earth at this time because you're taking part of the marriage supper of the Lamb up in heaven. The Lord Jesus said, for everyone who overcomes these things, I will keep them out of the hour of trial. That's going to come upon the whole world to test those that dwell on the earth. This is not your lot. These judgments and the wrath of God is not your lot. This is for those that accepted the mark of the beast. This is for those that took the mark. This is for those that worship the image. This is for those that obeyed the last government in the world that told them what to do in order to buy or sell. Not for you, I hope. So I heard, again, the angel of the waters saying, you are righteous. Verse 17, and I heard the altar saying, yup, or yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. By the way, who are we to pass judgment on God? Imagine that. A worm is going to pass judgment on God. Remember what the Lord said to Job. He said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Number four, men are scorched by the sun. Revelation 16:8. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God. Just like some people, sometimes when you hit your thumb with a hammer, what do people say? You hear it all the time. You hear it. It describes all of society. Here you're going to see it for one last time. Men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who had the power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. They do not repent because they can't repent. It's too late. Once this day of grace is over, it's too late. There's no repentance from this. There's no, see, it's the kindness of God, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. Well, that day is over. There is no more Holy Spirit. See, your conscience is a gift from God. And those that are left here, these consciences have been seared with a hot iron. If you're wondering what that looks like, turn on the news today and you can see a billion or two out here whose consciences have been seared with a hot iron, who go around here killing people, stealing children, selling them, a whole wicked and evil world that's got no conscience. This is what we're seeing here. They did not repent and give him glory. They do not repent because they can't repent. It's too late. Same as when we read at the end of chapter 9. It says the people refuse to repent of their sorceries. That's the Greek word pharmakia. I think that's a prophetic look at pharmaceutical drugs at the end of the age. John didn't know that. He just wrote the word pharmakia. Maybe back then it meant casting an eye of newt and a one-eyed frog into a bubbling cauldron, but that's not what the word pharmakia means out here today, friend. That's pharmaceutical drugs. Turn on the TV once again, and what do you see? They own everything. They own everyone. Pharmaceutical drugs, they own this world. Revelation chapter 9, at the end of chapter 9, it says the people out here in the world refuse to give up their pharmakia. That's what I believe this means. It's not eye of newt. It's not warlocks. It's people that have been addicted by drug companies of pharmaceutical drugs, and they refuse to give them up. That is what I believe this means. When you read that in the end of chapter 9. Matter of fact, let me open up my Bible to that chapter. Let me read that verse to you. See, I've translated that way because that's what I think pharmakia means here in this text. My Bible translation is called the EMTV, English Majority Text Version. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. It says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues, they did not repent from the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and of wood, which are neither are able to see, nor to hear, nor to walk. Verse 21, Revelation 9:21. And they did not repent of their murders, nor of their drugs, nor of their sexual immorality, nor of their thefts. At the end of the age, people refuse to repent because the day of grace is over and people's consciences have been seared with a hot iron and God does not draw. When you get to this stage, if you miss the Lord coming back, remember the closed door policy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember when they asked him, they said, Lord, are there just a few people out here that are going to be saved? Do you remember what he said to them? He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He said, agonizo, strive. Agonizo, to enter in through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will try to get in and will not be able. Once the master of the house has risen up and shuts the door, and you begin to stand and knock at that door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will say, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. We read in another text, he says, I don't even know where you're from. He doesn't even know where you live. Does the Lord Jesus know where you live? Have you invited him into your house? We read in the end of chapter 3 of Revelation, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens up that door and lets me in, I will come and sup with him and he with me. And he also says, I'll grant you to sit on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my heavenly Father on his throne. Where do you stand today? I just want you to see that at this time here, it's too late here. You can't just say at this time, well, my bad. I guess you're right. I see all this here. I see it, that the pastor was right. My wife was right all along. It's too late. This is why the Bible puts such a premium on the word today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And also, now is the accepted time. That's N-O-W is how that word's spelled. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because coming up in this time, you're not going to give a rip anymore, because it's the Holy Spirit, it's the kindness of God that leads you to repentance. And at this stage of the game, the kindness of God has run out, and there's no more conviction of sin. And if you're wondering what that looks like in the world today, all you need to do is turn on your television. Or if you don't have a television, you have a phone, and turn on your phone, read the news, watch the videos, and you can see what it looks like with people that's had this happen to them. Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul warned that this was going to happen. Let me read that now. Romans 1:18, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all the ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things made, both his eternal power and divinity, so that they are without excuse. Because, having known God, they did not glorify him as God or give thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their foolish heart was darkened. Asserting themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for a likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and reptiles. Therefore, this is Romans 1:24, therefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to shameful lusts. For even the women exchanged the natural use for that which is contrary to nature. That would be lesbians. Verse 27, likewise also the men, having forsaken the natural use of the woman, were inflamed by their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the recompense which was fitting for their error. he's going to say one more time in that text that he gave them up. You know what that looks like. Just turn on the news. Unrepentant people that are proud. I mean, even your go-to saying. And yet, it will condemn you to hell. And you're proud. And proud is your moniker. You're known by pride. Pride is the essence of your being. And yet, the thing that you have pride in is the very thing that's going to condemn you to hell. This is what this looks like. While the Apostle Paul says it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance, that's what this looks like. How ironic. I've never considered that. That the very image and the moniker, and there's a whole movement known by pride, and yet the pride in what you do is signing your own death warrant, and it's the thing that's going to condemn you to hell. Now here in Revelation, we're seeing that people here at this time refuse to repent of these things that they do. So that's number four, was men scorched. Number five, darkness and pain. That's verse 10. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. That's the Antichrist. Remember, understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. The beast, starting in chapter 13, we saw was the Antichrist. So the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the Antichrist, and his kingdom became full of darkness. Sounds like Moses again, doesn't it? With one of the plagues of Egypt, everything became dark. They couldn't see their hand in front of their face. Now, here we see the plague again. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast. His kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. They blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. And here we go once again. They did not repent of their deeds. So when the fifth bowl was poured out, the Antichrist kingdom was plunged in the darkness. This was not like the partial darkness that had occurred during the fourth trumpet. That's Revelation 8:12. This is total and complete darkness, like the plague visited upon Egypt, which is described as so dark, during that time people scarcely moved, for they could not see. That, by the way, if you want to compare these, is Exodus chapter 10, verse 23. Also, it's the last time it's said here in the Bible that people did not repent, and they refused to repent. We've said it, you know, before. There's coming a time in a person's life, and this is only known to God, when the kindness of God that leads you to repentance will no longer be offered to a person. I don't know when that is. No preacher knows when that is. But there's a time, and you see it. I've given you examples of what it looks like. This is why the Bible says, and it stresses, do not harden your hearts when the Holy Spirit is leading you. You know what? Let's stop here. We'll pick this up on Friday here at the end of these. Is the Holy Spirit leading you to repentance today? Let me take this last minute of this program today. Do not harden your hearts. You never know how long you have left to live in this world. Let me encourage you. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. I pray that you would do that. If you have yet to do that, would you make today the day that you stop running, the day that you obey the Holy Spirit when he's leading you? The kindness of God leads you to repentance, metanoia. Meta means a change of something. Noia is your brain. Your mind, to change your mind. They'd say in the Air Force, about face. And you do a 180 and you start going in the other direction. Let me encourage you, leave your junk behind today. Let the cleansing fire of Almighty God, just like what happened when Elijah prayed, and the all-consuming fire burned up everything, all of the sacrifice. Make your life a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Leave the junk behind. Repent. Turn. Turn back to God. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Righteousness is when God, that's a judicial, that's the judge. Here's your case. Slams down that gavel and says to you, friend, today, on this Thursday, not guilty. With the heart, one believes. And with the mouth, confession is made. The Bible says, confession is made unto salvation. May that come out of your mouth today. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord, and I receive him today. Leave that junk behind. Let the Lord help you, cleanse you. Let him exchange your sins for his peace. Peace and love. I sound like Ringo Starr. I leave you with that today. Peace and love. Peace and love. Exchange your sins for his peace and his love. Say yes to the Holy Spirit today. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. This is Denny Nugent with the question today about heaven. Browse a Christian bookstore, you'll probably find several books about people who claim they made a trip to heaven and returned, of course, to sell us their book about the experience. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul tells of a man who visited the third heaven and saw things he couldn't even discuss. John, one of our listeners asked, who was Paul talking about there, and where exactly is the third heaven?
First, a little reminder that the Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. We die once. We can't expect to have some common experience of dying once and coming back and dying again. People who say they've gone to heaven and come back, and some who say they've gone to hell and come back, aren't telling the truth. What is the third heaven? The third heaven is simply the biblical reference to the dwelling place of God. The first heaven would be the atmosphere around the earth, which we breathe. The second heaven would be the stellar heaven, where the moon and the stars are. And in a simple sense, the third heaven would be the dwelling place of God. Now, Paul is the only person in the New Testament who was taken to the third heaven. But he doesn't even know in what way he went there. He says, I don't know whether I was in the body or out of the body. This is tantamount to a vision like the prophets had in the Old Testament, such as Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. Paul is saying, I was caught up into the presence of God. I saw things too wonderful to behold, things that I can't even speak about. If somebody really did go to heaven, they would have the same experience as Paul. They would be unable to speak of what they saw.
You're listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. For more teaching from John's New Testament commentaries, go to MacArthurCommentaries.com. Thank you.